Good morning, City Church. Oh, that was so good. It's like we planned that. Happy summer Sundays to each and every one of you. I'm so honored to be here this morning, speaking to you this morning. Parker Palmer, in his book, Let Your Life Speak, spends the whole last section of the book talking about the seasons of nature and then tying them into our spiritual seasons of life. It's gorgeous, and it has deeply shaped my spiritual formation journey. Each season has a gift, and summer is the gift of abundance. Life everywhere, lush green grass to walk barefoot in, an abundance of life, an abundance of time, slower mornings, longer days, days off, weeks off, vacations, staycations, maybe a little bit of a clearer schedule without school. There's an abundance of heat around this area of the world, which obviously brings its challenges and makes me really cranky. But it makes the water warm so that we can be in and near the gift that is water. Summer is a time to take a deep inhale and exhale. And for me, what I have found is a time to return, a time to remind our hearts and our souls of things that we already know, things that may have gotten lost in the sea of busy that is the end of spring. It tends to feel like an extended Sabbath of the soul, if you will, a time to return and to recover. Our souls need time to catch up, and that is my hope for us today, this morning. Today will probably feel more like a reminder than anything, but I just felt so strongly that that's what the Lord wanted for us this morning. Luke 5, 15 and 16. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Let's pray before we jump in. Jesus, remind our hearts this morning. Help us settle in to what you have to say today. Holy Spirit, we return to you. Speak to our hearts. Let us be good hearers of the word and move us into obedience to that word today. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of you know that I grew up in a small town south of Tulsa, but I actually didn't grow up in town. I grew up right outside of that town in an even smaller community, kind of a little bit more out in the country. And my house had a yard, and then outside of that yard was our pasture. Still our land, but not kept in the same way the yard was. And in the back of the pasture, we had this brush pile. And I realize that a lot of these words I'm saying right now are making me sound very country, but don't get it twisted. I'm not that country, okay? We had a brush pile in the back of the pasture, and at some point, my younger brother and I, made our way to that brush pile, and around the back side of it, we began to carve out this little, like, hideout. And once we kind of found this place, I kind of stepped into full big sister boss mode, and we created, like, a house, complete with, like, seating arrangements and a kitchen and all of that. A good house hideout needs all of those things, okay? I don't remember exactly how long this lasted, but I remember the freedom of play that was found in that place, because at the time, we thought no one knew about it, although I'm sure our parents knew where we were for hours of the day, but we thought no one knew. It felt like, to us, our own secret place. Today, I want to remind your soul about the secret place, the hidden space within ourselves where we commune with our Creator. One of the secrets of Jesus's ministry was the secret place. We know as we read the New Testament that the rhythm of the secret place was an undeniable foundation of Jesus's life. As we just read, Jesus often withdrew. He often went away to lonely places. He often went away to the desert or to the wilderness, to the secret place, to the hidden place, to be alone and to commune with his Father. This is one of those foundational things that we have to pick up on as apprentices of Jesus. I've mentioned this before, but one of the ways that we interact and read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are as biographies of Jesus's life. His words, what he did, what he didn't do, how he spoke, what he ate, where he ate, his habits, his practices and rhythms. And we read them in this way to learn about his life and then implement those things into our lives. In the same way that you would read a biography of a great business leader and then take some of those habits. What time did he get up in the morning? How did he lead his team? What type of things did she do? And we implement those things in our lives. We read the Gospels in the same way, between the lines, learning even deeper about a person's life. And so we read and we learn and we put into practice, as John Mark Comer would say, the lifestyle of Jesus in order to get the life of Jesus. And the lifestyle of Jesus takes us time and time again to the secret place. Last year, on Father's Day, we had the what is now the infamous Father's Day storm. And so many of us were affected, and our house was hit really hard. We were all in the cellar at the time, our family was, and it was one of those things when the storm hit, there was just kind of like a hush that came in the cellar, and it was, the kids were crying, it was a whole scene, because we knew there's something bad going on above us. And when we came out of the cellar, it was the first time in my life I'd ever gone into a cellar and come out of it and been like, I'm so glad we were in there. We needed to be in there. It was one of those shocking moments. We had two large trees that were completely on their side in our backyard. One that looked like it was on top of the house and had come through the kitchen. This is, yes, a couple of, these are the two big trees that went down. Insane. These trees, once we, the light of day, of course at night, we're just seeing it through lightning flashes and getting those scenes. But in the light of day, we could see that there was even more going on under the surface that we couldn't realize. These trees, they were gorgeous and majestic and gave our backyard so much shade and beauty. And on the surface, like if you would have told me before, I would have never believed that they could have been blown over in the way that they were, because they were massive. But in the light of day, we could see that there was disease in the roots. They were not receiving the nourishment that they needed. Obviously, we couldn't see that, but because of this rot that was found in the root systems of these gorgeous trees, they were left vulnerable to this storm that blew in a little over a year ago. The unseen will always precede, fuel, and sustain the seen. This is true in nature, and it is true for us. No matter how big and beautiful something may look, it will fall if the root system is not being nourished and sustained in the way that it should be. What does your root system look like? Where are you drawing nourishment from? The root systems of our lives are what deserves the most of our attention, but it's so often the thing that gets neglected the most because it isn't seen. We can hide it away. It can't be posted or applauded. See, we live in a culture that places the highest value on the public place. Most followers and organizations and companies don't actually care what's happening behind the surface, behind the scenes or under the surface in your life, just so long as you're getting things done in the public place, just so long as you are performing in the public place. The public place is the validated place, and our culture, and if we're all really honest, our ego feeds on that validation. If we don't share the amazing things that are happening in our lives right now with our people and our followers, did they even really happen? An amazing meal, we need to post it. We go to a vacation in a beautiful place, we need to share it. If we have a relationship change, we need to change our relationship status. Obviously, posting about your life and sharing your life with other people is not bad. We just have to be aware of how that affects our souls and be honest with how that pulls us and guides us. To say that we are unaffected is to be naive. The soil of our culture looks a lot like the second soil that Jesus speaks about in the parable of the sower. It sprouts up quickly. You see this quick and fast growth, but it turns out to be shallow and it's quickly burnt up because it has no root. Fast growth, shallow roots, and burnout. That's a pretty haunting look at the default position of our world right now. See, we want the fruit without the roots. This can look a lot like we make a fast rise in a company, but we cut moral corners along the way and use other people as doormats as well. We have a large following online, but the people who live in our actual home know that what is posted isn't real. We look happy and successful on the outside, but our marriage behind the scenes is so broken and painful that we've lost really even any real reason to try. And don't think this isn't in church culture as well. We want the church to be family. We want our ministry team to be family, but we never stay planted in any place long enough to grow any real relational roots. We want anointing in our service, anointing in our prayer services and our worship services, but we settle for stirring up adrenaline because one takes time to grow and steward and the other is easy and we can do it in our own power. We elevate leaders because of talent and charisma and ignore the warning signs of lack of character along the way because of the lure of numerical growth. We want the fruit without the roots. Jeremiah 17 says this, "This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives." So what happens in a root system when it's under stress, like when that storm blew in a little over a year ago, the root systems, they stretch out. They reach out and they grasp for nourishment outside of itself. It draws in nourishment. This is what we do as well, especially in times of stress or anxiety or worry. We reach out for things outside of ourselves. We're reaching out, we're grasping for some sort of nourishment to draw in. And so the question is are we drawing strength outside of ourselves from mere flesh, as Jeremiah would say, or things of this world? Or are we planted by living water and drawing nourishment from a never-ending source, the never-ending source of all life? Jeremiah goes on to say, verse 7, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Psalm 1, along the same lines, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers." One of the guiding spiritual formation questions in my life, I use it all the time. I think about it a lot. We talked about it a lot in my City U class. And this question is, what do I want to be like when I'm 80 years old? See, spiritual formation is all about the long game. It's thinking way down the road. What I do today, yes, it matters. What I'm doing this week, yes, it matters. But I'm not microwaving results. I'm planting seeds now. I'm planting seeds that hopefully when I'm 80 years old, I'm sitting in the shade under the fruit trees of what I planted long time ago. And these two verses are a couple of the guiding verses that I have down on my little running list of what I want to be like when I'm 80 years old. I want to be rooted so deeply that I'm immovable. That all the storms and things that are going to come my way that are inevitably going to happen to me, that I can be steadfast and unwavering, not acknowledging the emotions or the hardships that come from life, but without panic, because I have such a deep-rooted trust in my Creator. What does your root system look like? Where are you drawing nourishment from? In the life of Jesus and all throughout his ministry, we see that one of the key foundations for him to combat the growth in the public place was to keep returning and cultivating the secret place. And to cultivate takes time, it takes intention. Tending the soil of our souls is daily work. We have to understand that the soil of our culture is not one that can sustain our souls. It can't do it. It will not sustain us. It's drawing strength from mere flesh. It won't last. We are called to choose another way. We have to get to the secret place. There are certain things that can only be truly formed there inside of us. So let's talk about a few of those this morning. From the secret place, we find identity, renewal, realignment, and power. First, identity. In Matthew 3, we find the baptism and blessing of Jesus, this moment of, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased," coming from the voice of God. And then we immediately go from that scene into chapter 4. Let's read chapter 4. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God,' he said, 'throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up you in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him." Jesus was baptized, blessed, and then sent out. This was the beginning of his ministry on earth. See, the blessing came before the commission, and this is a lesson for each and every one of us, because we do the mission from the overflow of blessing, not the other way around. See, burnout happens when our doing exceeds our being. If our identity is found in some sort of specific calling or title or role, if my identity is found in standing up here and speaking to you, or standing up here and leading worship to you, or having some sort of title, then when that is taken away, when that inevitably ends, or when something happens and that is threatened in some way, then we have a crisis on our hands. But when our identity is found in the delight and face of our Father, and him loving us just as we are, as sons, as daughters, then we can live and flow out of that identity. I am rooted and anchored in him, come what may. Let's not forget that 90% of Jesus's life is secret. So precious and private that we know basically nothing about it. His life and his ministry and his time on earth is fueled by the time and the space that no one sees. Deep communion, deep love and affection with the Father who blesses him before he ever steps out to do anything in his ministry life. May our worship flow from the 90% that no one else sees. May our ministry and our life flow from the 90% that is just between us and Father, Son, and Spirit. We see this blessing and moment with Jesus, and then he's led out into the wilderness. This instance obviously has a very specific purpose in his life, but here we are right out of the gate. Jesus often withdrew to secret places. And the wilderness here isn't a place of weakness, it's a place of strength. And we find in the life of Jesus that in the quiet place, in the wilderness, it produced in him such a great security in his identity, in his calling, and in his purpose. This place solidified who he was and who he was not, what he was supposed to do and what he was not supposed to do. See, here's what we have to remember. Only the love of God in Christ is capable of bearing the weight of our true identity. And we find that identity away from the noise and the pull and the allure of the public place. Here's what Henry Nouwen has to say about the secret place. He says, without it, quote, we remain victims of our society and continue to be entangled in the illusions of the false self. Jesus himself entered into this furnace. There he was tempted with the three compulsions of the world: to be relevant, turn stones to bread; to be spectacular, throw yourself down; and to be powerful, I will give you all these kingdoms. There he affirmed God as the only source of his identity. The wilderness thus detoxes us from our addiction of approval. The wilderness, the unseen, the secret place detoxes us. And if you've ever tried to pull away for 30 minutes and sit in silence or not have any input, no phone, no nothing, you know that detox is the right word. There's some withdrawals that happen in that space, in that place. It purges us from idols and addictions and false identities of our lives, from the temptation to be relevant, to be spectacular, and to be powerful in our own strength. And if Jesus needed this, if Jesus needed this time, how much more do we need the space to develop this identity that can only be formed in us when we get alone with God and let Him see all of us? He's the only one that we cannot hide from. The second thing that we find in the secret place is renewal. As I said in the open, our souls need space to rest. Again, burnout happens when our doing exceeds our being. Our body, mind, and soul are longing for continual rhythms of rest and renewal, but we tend to settle for continual times of escape and numbing. Feeling overwhelmed, we grab the phone for a quick scroll. Home from a hard day or a hard week, we binge another show. Have a moment in the car by ourselves, we throw on another podcast in the ears because it's just habit, and the quiet, if I'm honest, is really uncomfortable for me. The problem, as we all know, is that these things are in the moment distractions and quick fixes. They don't produce any lasting fruit. It's not working on the root systems of our lives. It's reaching out to grasp nourishment from dry places. And we see this rhythm of renewal on display so beautifully in the life of David through the Psalms. We see through David such a rich life with God, a life with God, the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the wins and the mistakes coming through David and his writings. They're honest and open and harsh and beautiful. And he comes back over and over and over again to God through prayers and songs and opens up his soul to him, bears everything that he has to bring to him so that he can do the renewing work that only God can do. Psalm 51, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. David knew and learned throughout his life the renewal and lasting nourishment that we are desperate for can only be found in the presence of God. This renewal that we're all reaching out to grasp can only be found in his presence. This is the better way that Mary chose at the feet of Jesus, communion with him, time in his presence, connecting and returning all throughout the moments of our day, a life with God. All the life, up, down, everything in between. Yes, I'm talking today about getting alone and actually being alone in a secret place with God. But also I'm talking about this place, this within ourselves, that we can connect with God, whether we are with people or not. Again, where are we drawing nourishment from? Brother Lawrence, in the book, The Practice of the Presence of God, which is just it's a book about having a life with God and connecting in that secret place wherever you are, whether you're in the sanctuary, in the holy place, and praying, or standing in front of a sink and washing dishes. Brother Lawrence says this, we should commit ourselves unceasingly to this one goal, that everything we do be little acts of communion with God. We are grasping for nourishment. Let us not settle for anything less than renewal in the presence of God, renewal that sustains, heals, and lasts, renewal that nourishes and strengthens the root systems of our lives. The third point today is realignment. Craig read this scripture last week and talked about this, but I already had this planned, so we needed to hear it twice, all right? Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus, at the beginning of Matthew, as we just read, after his blessing and commission, heads out to be alone in the wilderness with the Father before starting his ministry. Jesus, at the very end, before stepping into his last moments on earth, before stepping into the crescendo of all that he came to do, heads out to be alone with the Father. And here we see our last two points on display. The first is realignment. Jesus was fully God and fully man. And here in this garden moment, we see his humanity on display in the most excruciating and beautiful way. He asked for another way. "If possible, let this particular cup pass from me, the cup of pain and suffering and death. If possible, I would like for there to be another way. But yet, not my will, but yours be done." The intimacy and security found in the secret place will lead us to realignment to the will of the Father, even when that means we must drink the cup of suffering. I want another way. I'm asking and believing for another way, but my ultimate trust is not found in my situation. My security and my identity is built on you. I know the delight of the Father, and I trust that every place you ask my feet to step, that I'll find you there, that you will be there, your blessing will be there. So in this space, realign my heart to want what you want. Realign my heart and my vision and my eyes to see what you see and to hear what you hear and ultimately to act in the way that you would act. Not my will, but yours. The second thing we see in this garden secret place moment and our last point for today is power. Jesus was under great stress in the garden. Craig talked about this last week. Sweating blood, anguish, tears. He brought the full weight of what he was feeling. All of his feelings, all of his worries. He brought it in to the safety of his presence of his Father. A place with his Father that he often withdrew to. A place that he knew at the deepest levels, a place that he drew identity from and gained renewal of his spirit and realignment to the will of the Father. He brought it all into that space. The disciples in the garden were sleeping, seemingly so calm that they missed the moment. And as we move into this next scene and directly into the arrest and final moments of Jesus' life, we see that most of the disciples panic and flee. Jesus, on the other hand, is full of power and strength. See, true power, the power of God on display for all to see, can only be built in the secret place. At the beginning of the year, we started our year in a series on prayer, walking through how Jesus taught his disciples to pray and walking through the Lord's Prayer. And we begin to take a step deeper in what does it look like for this place to be a house of prayer, for us to be people of prayer. We went from that season immediately into the season of Lent, of 40 days of prayer and fasting. We had our prayer sets right here in this room 3 times a week, gathering to seek his face, to pursue the presence of God in this place. And what some of you may or may not know is during that time of Lent, we began to really put legs to the idea of what it would look like to have a prayer room here in this building. And now we are just a few weeks away from opening that prayer room in this building. It's right off of the sanctuary right over here. Yes, a little. It's a beautiful space. And during the month of September, we are going to have a month of prayer as a church and open this prayer room. It's a gorgeous space for us to enter in as a community, to enter into different forms of prayer. It's again, walking through the Lord's Prayer so you can engage in remembrance and adoration and intercession and petition and contending prayer. And you can paint and write on the walls, play the piano, write, kneel and pray. My prayer, my heart's desire is that when we gather in this place, in this room, like we are today, that we would see the power of God on display here. That we would see healings and deliverances and marriages restored, all the things that we pray about all the time. And one of the ways that that happens is that each of us individually developing a passion for the presence of God on our own, in the secret place where no one else is watching. And then we can just step back and watch what God does when we're all here together. And that is our hope and our prayer for this prayer room. And honestly, my hope and my prayer for this message today. Jesus had a deep well of intimacy and power in the presence of God. The secret place between him and the Father. And when the time came for him to give his life in one of the most brutal ways, we see his power on display. Power from outside of himself. Power on display in the public place that was built in the secret place. Do you desire more power in your life? Do you desire more power over temptation? More power over the circumstances that come your way every single day, every single week? More power in your prayer life? We have to get to the secret place. We have to get to the secret place and let him build a deep well of communion with him. Would you stand with me this morning? If you would just close your eyes. Maybe put your hand on your heart, if you will. What does your root system look like? Holy Spirit, show us what our root system looks like. Maybe on the outside we look big and strong and bold, but you're the only one we can't hide from. So show us what our root system looks like. Show us where there's disease. Show us where there's any rot or any beginnings of that. And show us, God, where we are drawing our nourishment from. Are we attaching ourselves to dry places? Are we running to quick fixes? Are we escaping? Are we numbing? Show us those places where we're doing that. And God, I pray that you would ignite inside each and every one of us a hunger and a pursuit for the secret place, to get alone with you, to commune with you, a hunger for your presence and for everything that happens in your presence that cannot happen anywhere else, God. Would you plant that inside of us? God, would you ignite a flame inside of us that we can tend to, that we can steward, that we can grow, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. show us each individually in our own seasons and schedules right now what the secret place looks for us. Maybe it's on the way to work. Maybe it's getting up 15 minutes earlier before anyone else does. Maybe it's staying awake 15 minutes past everyone else being asleep. What is this rhythm of pulling away and resting in your presence? What does that look like for us? We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence and all you do in that place. Jesus, continue to speak to our hearts as we come to the table today and remember all you've done.